Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to talk about the wonder of the Holy Spirit and the grace and work of the promise. The Holy Spirit is called the promise of the Father. At the heart and the center of the Christian life is the gift of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking all week about what that means. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, friends, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. Programs are archived there. You can just listen to them on your computer or put them on whatever device you like so you can listen to them at your leisure. As I've mentioned many times, I encourage you to go get our Renewal Ministries app. You'll have access to everything that we've produced. We're moving into a new building. We're in a new building here at Domino's World Headquarters, and part of the reason that we've done that is to kind of upgrade our own technology to be able to get the word out there quicker and more often, to share with you what we believe the Lord is giving us to strengthen you, to build you up. Ralph Martin, Sister Ann Shields, myself, Peter Burak, Debbie Herbeck, all of our team, young and old, are going to be producing more material just to encourage you as we walk in the footsteps of our Lord in these difficult and challenging times. Well, yesterday I ended the program talking about the glory of the Lord, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that the reason I was reading some passages that describe in the New Testament the glory of Jesus. And it's important to do it for a variety of reasons. One is it helps us see God's end game of the mystery of his great plan. The plan of Jesus' coming to take on human flesh was so that he could literally recreate the human race that had fallen from glory, had been trapped by the powers of sin and death. And Jesus came to take us out of that condition of alienation from God and being under the dominion of the spirit of this world, and to bring us into a new reality, become under the dominion of God our Father and under the lordship of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why he came, to break sin's hold, to break the hold of death over the human race, to disarm the principalities and powers, and to make it possible for us to reach our destiny, our ultimate and final fulfillment, which is to be united to God forever, to be in fellowship with God, to be his children. And that's made possible through the life, passion, death, and resurrection, and ascension into glory of Jesus. And at the heart of it is the Spirit. We are the people christened, anointed by the messianic grace, by the Holy Spirit given to us, by the authority of God the Father, by the authority of Jesus, who is siring a new race of people, you could say. He's beginning a new creation, and that new creation means people who've been baptized into Jesus, sins forgiven, and in baptism, being made a new creation, born again by water and the Spirit, they become children of God. And that's one of the manifestations, friends, of the glory of Jesus. You can become a child of God. You can be born again by water and the Spirit because Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father. Because one of us, the firstborn son, is at the right hand of the Father in human flesh, which is now glorified. And what flows through Jesus is the life of God. And he said that all who believe in him, this is where we began the week, all who believe in him, rivers of living water will flow through us. That means the Holy Spirit. Jesus gives us his Spirit, and the Spirit will flow through us and make it possible for us to live a whole new way of life, to walk in fulfilling the commandments by virtue of the grace of the Holy Spirit, who is God's very love poured into our hearts. I want to today just finish reading some of these passages about the glory of Jesus. We ended yesterday in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul called Jesus the Lord of glory. All glory and honor and power and majesty belong to Jesus. He's the indestructible, infinitely powerful, omnipotent, glorious Son of God. He's the ruler and King of all. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul said, we've been given this ministry. He called it the gospel of the glory of Christ. That is the good news. Gospel, good spiel, means good news. It's the good news about what? About the glory of Christ. Jesus has been glorified at the right hand of the Father. He's won a total victory over the world of flesh and the devil. In him has begun the new creation. He reigns forever, and he will never, never, never be, what shall I say, brought down from that position of glory and power and majesty. The devil is his only ultimate enemy. The devil's a creature, and Jesus has put him in his place. And the devil's destiny is set. His kingdom has been brought down. And the reign of our Lord Jesus Christ has begun because Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father in glory. All things are now subject to him, Paul will say. Let's go to Colossians 1:27, chapter 1, verse 27. He talks about in Jesus the riches of the glory of this great mystery, the mystery of the gospel, which is what? He said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You who are baptized into Christ, and maybe some who are listening who don't yet know Christ or not baptized into him yet, this is what the church wants to bring to you. This is what the church exists to bring, to make it possible for Christ to dwell in you, in the Spirit, as in a temple. In the Gospel of John, the beloved apostle said, Jesus' desire was that the fellowship that he has with the Father, they're one, that through the gospel and through baptism, the Father and the Son can dwell in us, so we can have full fellowship with God himself. And it's a gift from God. It's not something we acquire on our own resources. It's not something we can manufacture or earn. It is God's gift. And Paul is saying, the riches of the glory of this great mystery, the mystery of Christ is so glorious, he's saying, and the riches of this great glory is revealed in this. For you personally, Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Well, what's hope? Hope is the confident expectation that you will live in glory forever. It's not just a wish. It's not just positive thinking. It's a theological virtue. It's God infusing in you confidence that what you see in Jesus, risen, glorified, victorious, that you too will one day share in what belongs to him. Because it's something he's doing. It's something he's accomplished. It's something he's promised for all those who say yes to him. And he is utterly trustworthy. God is not a man that he should lie. And he's got all the power to make it happen. And it's already happening in all those who are baptized into him. Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. First of all, when Christ, our life, appears. Think about that. When you're baptized into Jesus, there's a whole new life principle in you. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, you've been brought from death to life. And the life that will never die, the eternal life that was in the Son, in Jesus, is now in us. Those who are baptized into Jesus now have a life that death cannot swallow. It's stronger than death. It's greater than death. So because of it, if you're baptized into Jesus, you will pass from death to life. When Christ, who is our life, appears. That's why Jesus is our life. He gave us the life that belongs to him. Think about how the life is in the blood that flows through our veins biologically. There's a spiritual life that flows through us now. And it's a life that flows from the person of Jesus. It's a life that will never stop flowing. Our blood will stop flowing, our physical blood. But the Spirit of Christ Jesus, the Spirit of the Father and the Son that's in us, will never stop flowing. And it's a living water. It's an infinite source. It will never stop. We're literally united to the source of it all, which is Christ himself. So when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. When Jesus comes, when his glory is manifested in his second coming, all those who have died in Christ or all those who are alive at the time living in Christ will all be united. All those who are living in him, where Jesus will come to draw those who said yes to the life flow in them. That is the offer of eternal life that Jesus gave. He knows who they are. And when they come, he'll gather them to himself. He's going to separate the sheep and the goats. The sheep are those who say yes. The goats are those who said no. He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. The wheat are those who said yes. The chaff are those who said no. There's going to be a great dividing. And you're going to be able to know who's on what side by virtue of the fact that in some will be flowing the life of God. And the life of God, this Christ life, will be flowing within them because they said, I want Christ. I accept Jesus. I repent of my sins. I turn my heart to him. This freedom that I've been given by God, it's not just mine. I admit I didn't create it. I'm not my own God. I'm not the center of the universe. I've sinned and I've fallen short of the glory of God. I see the offer of his mercy. I want it. I repent of my sin. Lord, may I enter the waters of baptism. May I enter your church. May I be all that you made me to be. I want the Christ life in me. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's what it means to be a Christian, friends. That's what Jesus is producing in us. And those are the ones who are going to enter heaven. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. To this he called you through our gospel. Okay, you were called through the good news that was preached to you. That's why, friends, it is of the utmost importance that the gospel be preached. There's a kind of mutism in the church in so many places, and that's a sign of sickness. That's a sign of a lack of conversion. That's a sign of lukewarmness or the fear of men or a darkened mind. When the mind is touched by Christ and we see these truths about who he is, we know Jesus said he came for the purpose of preaching the gospel, and he commanded us to do the same. And you don't just preach with actions, you preach with words. Words and deeds. Words confirm, you know, the deeds confirm the words, and the deeds give meaning to the words. It's both and, it's not either or. It's so important for us to preach the gospel. To this he called you through the gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why does the church preach the gospel? What is the good news about that gospel? Why is it good news, and why is she compelled to do it? Because she knows what it means. The gospel is the access point. The gospel, the good news, is the means by which God calls humanity to himself. And what we're called to and why it's good news is that if we say yes to it, we will inherit the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody else can give you glory. Nobody else can give you eternal life. Nobody else can give you a place in heaven. Nobody else can give you the Holy Spirit now. Only Jesus. Buddha can't do it. Muhammad can't do it. Donald Trump can't do it. Nancy Pelosi can't do it. Nobody can do it. The richest people in the world can't give it to you. Oh yeah, they can give you a little fading glory in this world, a little attention from the world, but that's all going to fade. It's all going to pass away. It's nothing. It literally means nothing in the big picture. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Through him you have confidence in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. You can have confidence in God because you know that God has raised Jesus from the dead and gave him glory. That's really the story. Jesus was raised from the dead and he was given glory. That's the story at the heart of Christianity. And because of that, we can follow him and we can share in what belongs to him. 1 Peter 4, verse 14. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, you're blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. This is one we ought to commit to memory, friends. 1 Peter 4, 14, because guess what? The world is coming against the church more and more in our day. And you're going to be reproached. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be ridiculed if you stand for Jesus. Understand, if you're reproached, all that happens to you, Peter's telling you, thank God because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you, the Spirit of Jesus. Last verse, 1 Peter 5, 1. A fellow elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, Peter's describing himself this way, as well as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed. Friends, we can say the same thing. We may not say we're elders in the body, but we're children of God. We're witnesses to the sufferings of Christ through the gospel, and we are now, by God's grace, partakers in the glory that will be revealed in Jesus in the last time. When he comes, all those who are alive in him will be radiating with the glory of the Son, and we'll be shouting his name, we'll be welcoming him, we'll be bending our knees and glorifying him as he comes to reign over his creation forever. Have a great day, friends. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.